again for the week's out. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 17. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 17. And we'll bring you the message. I want you to listen real carefully for just a few minutes as we try to bring you the message from God's Word. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Ain't nobody else can say that. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I want to preach this morning, just for a few minutes, on what the resurrection means. What the resurrection means. When we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, what does it mean to us? The most important event of history is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not World War II or I. All those were important dates. Not the landing of the moon, 1969. The discovery of America. None of them even compares to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your view of Jesus Christ shows your view of the whole world, how you live, how you think, how you raise your children, how you conduct your life, and what you hope for in the future. Your view of Jesus Christ and Him alive tells that. Now, I want to say a few things about it this morning quickly, and we'll go. First, I want to say the resurrection means that there is a complete demonstration of the deity of Christ. Now, all that is preacher talk. That means it showed that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. It shows Jesus was no ordinary man, that He really was God. You know, when we have Christmas and it shows Mary and she's in the manger and she's holding that little baby and we sing God in the flesh, God came down. That's what the resurrection shows. It shows once and for all that He was God. He was deity. Christianity begins where other religions end. When you hear somebody on TV and they say, well, all religions are the same, just whatever you don't believe in, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Buddhist, whatever. Well, that's ridiculous. Because Christianity begins where they end. You know who started Islam or the Muslim faith? That's what the people in Iran, Iraq, and all the... You know what started that? Muhammad. You know where Muhammad is this morning? His grave has his ashes in it, and Muhammad's in heaven or hell, depending on whether he got saved or not. And I hope he did. You know where Buddha is this morning? Buddha's remains are in his grave. And if you're a Buddhist, you follow his teaching to the grave, and that's as far as you can go. If you're a Muslim, you follow Islam's teaching to the grave, and that's as far as you can go. But Jesus, his teaching came up from the grave, and Christianity begins where all the other religions end. It's an end of theirs, it's a beginning of ours. Others point to the founder's teachings, and we point to his death on the cross and say, it is finished. If you belong to any other religion in the world, you say, well, our founder teaches this, and our founder teaches we're supposed to do that, and our founder teaches with that. You know what we point to? We point to, we ain't no good, but a perfect Savior died on the cross for us and rose from the dead, and thank God, it's finished. You know how I know I'm going to heaven? You know how I know I'm going to heaven? I know I'm going to heaven because when God sees me, He does not see me. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. As some of you sitting in here this morning, and you say, all right, Danny Castle, he ain't worth shooting. Guess what? You're absolutely right. And guess what else? You ain't either. That's right, brother. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ain't that right? Ain't none of us no count. We, every one of us ought to be in jail right now. We don't deserve nothing. You know how I get to stand up here and preach? Because the spotless, sinless Son of God died in my place and He put His righteousness on me, so when God sees me, He don't see me, He sees Jesus. I was showing him that in church the other night. Jeremy, let's show him here in just a second. Come up here just a second. He's bigger than I am, so he can be Jesus, okay? He's really more like The other fellow. But anyway, he's going to represent Jesus. Up there's God in heaven, right? Here's me. Oh, sorry, good for nothing, Danny. Here I am living my life. I fail every day. I mess up every time I turn around. Best I do ain't good enough. I try. But guess what? He died for me. So he faces God. Up there's God in heaven. So when God looks at me, what does he see? He sees him. That's what you mean by Christian. That's what a Christian is. When the Lord sees me, he don't see me like you see me. He sees Jesus Christ. His record is on my book. That's right. He paid my debt. Thank you, brother. So he paid. It's like I owed $1 million to the bank, and I said, there ain't no way in the world I can pay this. And he signs a check and says, paid for. Just like that right there. And that's what he'll do for you this morning. I'm telling you, it shows a complete demonstration of his deity. Other religions say, live this way and you'll go to heaven. Live good enough, you'll go to heaven. You might get to go to heaven if you live up to this standard or that standard. You know what we say? Our Savior already lived it. He already done it all. It is finished. He paid my price. I'm going to heaven because of what he did, not because of what I do. Amen? It shows that. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ shows irrefutable vindication of the authority of his teachings. What does that mean? That's a ministerial way of saying everything that Jesus taught was proved by his resurrection. Everything that he said and taught. How do you know what Jesus said was right? Because the resurrection proves that he was right. When a man can jerk himself up out of a grave and he comes back to life by himself, I believe I'd want to listen to him. I believe that'd be the man I'd want to listen to. He said, I am the way. He didn't say a way. He said the way. You say, well, ain't all religions just different roads wind up the same place? Nope. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now that means that there is no other way to get to heaven when you die other than trusting Jesus Christ. Now what does it mean? What's me? I'm going to trust this pulpit. I'm going to trust it. I'm trusting it. See, I'm putting all my weight on it. If I didn't think that thing would hold me up, I'd never do that. I'd never do it. I would never put my weight on it. Now that's what I'm doing to Jesus Christ. I'm putting my weight of my soul on Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm the way. You know what else he said? He told us there was a heaven. You know why we know there's a heaven? Because he told us there was one. I'd trust him before I would Bill Maher. I'd trust Jesus Christ before I would Sigmund Freud. I'd trust Jesus Christ before I would Charlie Darwin. You know what Charlie wanted to do when he was growing up? He wanted to be a preacher before he came out with a theory of evolution. And before he made us all monkeys for our grandmas and grandpas, he wanted to preach, and he couldn't preach, so he decided there wasn't no God, and it would all come from orangutans and baboons and chimpanzees and stuff like that. I'm going to trust what Jesus Christ said. Charles Darwin died a long time ago, and ain't nobody heard a word out of him since. But I talked to Jesus in my office a while ago, and he's just fine. He's alive this morning, and he's well, and he's here to help you today if you'll let him. That's right. That's right. It's irrefutable evidence that there is a heaven. Heaven is a place. Heaven is not a state of mind. You know, you got these people go around and say, well, heaven, if everything's going good in your life, and you're happily married, and you got plenty of money, and you have family's help, that's heaven. Heaven's a lot better than being down here married and happy. Heaven's a whole lot better. Whole lot better. It's a place up yonder. Actually, it's that way, north. And it's straight up above the universe and where God lives. And brother, did you know that heaven is a place? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the Biltmore House. Have you ever been to, like a big
mansion or something like that. I know when I was preaching out in near Los Angeles, they took us around and they showed me Hollywood, and we went around, and the preacher showed me. He said, "Now that movie star lives there, and that movie star lives there, and they have to have big old chains, big old fences, and big bushes all around their house where movie stars live, and helicopters flying over, and newspaper reporters looking down there to see if they can see old Bieber or somebody, you know, and they're looking around like that." And I think, you know, is that it? And I remember thinking, good night, I've seen houses that nice in Florida. I mean, they're beautiful and they're nice, but you know what they got? Roaches, and have to call a pest control and have to put an alarm system in and all that. Listen, I've got a mansion waiting on me that's made on streets made out of gold. I ain't talking about a little something trimmed in it. I'm talking about we're going to walk on gold streets, brother. And the Bible said that it's a place, and that place is prepared. What could he do in 2,000 years? If he can make heaven and earth in 6 days, what could he do in 2,000 years? Heaven is real. But I want to tell you something else. What he said about hell is real too. Hell is a place of flame and torment. And everybody in here is going to heaven or hell. You say, "I don't believe there is such a place." You're going anyway. Not believing what sends you there. When you wake up in hell and you say, "God, have mercy on me," and there's fire and there's screaming and there's burning and you can't get out, then you'll realize that what he said about hell was true. You say, "Well, I heard a professor in college and he said there wasn't no such place." All right, you gonna believe him? 40 years old, or you gonna believe a man that's been here 1,000 years and died and went there and came back to tell you about it? Which one you wanna believe? Which one you wanna believe? The resurrection is irrefutable vindication. Years ago, there was a famous atheist in this country named Robert Ingersoll. You hear about him if you're educated, and you hear about Bob Ingersoll, and they talk about him and his teachings. And Bob Ingersoll used to go around these little old towns, and they used to talk about a soapbox, and stand up on a little platform and give a speech. And he went around the country giving speeches that there was no hell, so when you died, it was just the end of you, and there was no such place as hell. And a big crowd gathered around to hear him one day, and one old redneck country guy out there looked at him, and he got up there to speak, and he said, "Make it good, Bob. There's a lot of us counting on you." He said, "Make it good, Bob. There's a lot of us counting on you." And Bob Ingersoll died. And he found out there was a hell. And he's there today. And they were saying, "Make it good, Bob. There's a lot of us counting on you." I don't know about you. I'm not counting on Bob Ingersoll. I'm counting on Jesus Christ, who died and went there and come back and said, "There's flames there." You know who the first hellfire preacher was on this earth? Jesus Christ. Oh, it's on TV now, they say, "But don't Jesus love everybody?" Yeah, he sure does. He loves you enough to tell you there's a hell. You say, "Well, isn't he inclusive?" He includes everybody that'll trust him and believe on him. He made hell for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. You say, "God's too good to let anybody go to hell." He don't force you to go to heaven. It's your choice. You can get saved today. He died on the cross so you can go to heaven. But if you say no, there's only one other place you can go, and that's hell when you leave this world. Not only that, you know what else the cross and the resurrection means? The resurrection means the pledge and pattern of the resurrection of every other Christian who's ever lived. What does that mean? That means his resurrection shows us that every Christian who's ever lived on this planet will also be resurrected. Every old saint of God that's died and went on to heaven, their body, here's the way it works. If you died right now, say Jeremy's standing right here this morning, if he died, fell over here dead on the floor, his soul goes out of his body. People say, "What happened to you when you die?" Your soul goes out of your body and it goes on to be the Lord. Your body just falls over on the floor. We call the paramedics, they take you over here somewhere, pronounce you dead, and we dig a hole and put your body in the ground. Now your soul's up there with the Lord. Now, when your body goes in the ground, it waits on the Lord to come back. When the Lord comes back, He's bringing your souls with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So when he comes back, that body is going to come up out of that grave, and that soul and body reunite, and you get a brand new body that lives forever and ever and ever. That's the way it works. It's the same way of hell. If you died right now and you're not saved, your soul goes to hell, your body goes to the grave. At the resurrection, after the 1,000-year millennial reign, your body and soul will reunite. You get a body that'll never burn up, and that'll burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because you rejected God's payment. You say, well, I just don't think that's fair. If you set this building on fire this morning, and this building caught on fire, it's not your fault the building caught on fire. It is your fault if you don't run out. Are you listening to me? People say, well, it's not my fault I was born a sinner. And it sure ain't. It's your fault if you don't take the remedy, though. There's a remedy, like we're singing. It's your fault. It ain't my fault the building catches on fire, but it's my fault if I don't get out of here. It's not my fault I was born a sinner. I had no choice. But it's my fault if I don't accept God's remedy for my sin. I was thinking about the resurrection. Y'all know this is a very, 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 very special time of year for me. This is by far the most special time of year to me. Because of, I like spring. Because of the youth rally. That'd be enough. It's rough, but I love it. My heart is in it 1,000%. I give my everything I've got within me for that youth rally. And I'm telling you, God bless me every... it's been that way 27 years of it. In a row. The Lord's blessed and blessed. We had over 52 kids saved last year. And then it's my favorite time of year because my spiritual birthday was yesterday. I got saved. And I got saved on the 18th, 19th. My sister's birthday was yesterday, Friday. Kerrigan's birthday was Friday. And I got saved during this week. And I'm telling you, my heart just felt. And then it was just 2 or 3 weeks ago that it was my mom went home to be with the Lord. And so all this stuff bubbling up in me at the same time. And I'm trying to contain myself. Really, I'm in here preaching to you. And I feel something bubbling in my heart. I would really like to run out that door and run down on the interstate. And I wouldn't last long if I did this. I would flag them down and say, hey, let me tell y'all the best news you've ever heard. He's alive! Hallelujah! And he'll help you today if you'll listen to him. Let me tell you something, teenagers. The best life you'll ever live in your life is for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm only 17. I'm only 18. I was 18 that worked for me. I'll never forget that night. I went to church up there at Nebo Baptist Church, and God started speaking in my heart. And my cousin was standing right beside me, and he punched me and he said, hey man, let's go get saved. I said, I ain't ready to get saved. And this girl was standing up in front of me. She turned around and said, Danny, why don't you go get saved? And I said, I ain't ready to get saved. And I was about, my heart was going boom, 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 boom. Like I thought I was going to blow up. Next thing I knowed, one foot went in front of the other one, and the other one went in front of the other one. I said, let's go. And I went down that night, and I fell down right there on that floor, and I bawled my eyes out for about 30 minutes. And when I woke up, I felt like I'd got a bath on the inside. When I woke up and I stood up, I thought, hallelujah, something has happened. And I'm telling you, people, I have never been the same since that night till this right here. It's still real tonight. He walks with me and talks with me. I felt him up here the other night when we was praying. I felt him at my house last night when I was studying. I felt him when I was in there in my office in there studying a while ago. He's alive today. My sister is up in New York this morning. They went to see my brother-in-law's mother. He hadn't saw her in a few years. And so she's not here. Amy's here and Stephen's here. But Debbie's in New York. And I said, I miss you, Debbie. I was hoping you'd get to come to church Sunday. And they went up there. And my mom stayed with Debbie the last few years of her life. And my mom took me and my two sisters, as you've heard me say 100 times, and set all three of us on her lap when we was little and opened a big old Bible storybook and told us the Bible. And she preached When I was playing in a rock and roll band, Mom preached day and night. We had our stuff set up in the basement. We was down there jamming. I mean, it was an awful racket. It sounded like you knocked over a bunch of pots and pans, but dogs howling or something. And Mom said, "Use that talent for the Lord. You ought to be singing in church, son." And then every time, my whole life, playing ball, when I started playing ball, Mom said, "Ball, ball, ball. I'll be glad when all this ball." So she hated it. I mean, when I was 13, I'd wad up a ball, make my own ball, and I'd put the trash can in the corner and go through the house. I could beat anybody doing that. I still do that right now. I still do it right now. I shoot things at the trash can in my room. There's stuff laying all around where I've missed. That's right. It's the truth. I ain't lying. That's the truth. Once in a while, I scrape all the rebounds and put them in there. But I still miss them. But Mom would always say, "Son, got to go to church." And this honest truth, it's the honest truth. There wasn't a Sunday morning went by that I didn't feel guilty. And them guys would say, "Come on, let's go play ball." And this sounds silly, and I wouldn't even go play ball like 12 o'clock on Sunday. Because I felt guilty. I thought, man, if I'm too sorry to get up and go to church, I don't need to be out here running around. And after 12 o'clock, I'd go do whatever they wanted to do. The night I got saved, Mom, I come home. My mom, as she always was, Helen, my Aunt Helen back there, they know her. They knew her. Mom's going in the kitchen just wiping stuff with a dish rag. I was 18. She had no idea where I had. My hair was down here. I was out living wild. And I walked in the back door, and my mom's in there wiping. Took my cousin home, this girl home, that went with us to church that night. And I drove a little MG, had a stick shift about that high, and I put my head on that thing and prayed with her. I said, "Let's pray." She went, "Something sure did happen to you, didn't it?" I said, "It sure did. I ain't never prayed in front of nobody in my life. I've been saved about 3 hours." And I put my head down on that little thing. I don't know what I said. I said, "God help me. Oh, God help me." Like, and I prayed. And I went home. Mom's in there wiping. I said, "Mom, I've been to church." And she said, "Well, good, son." And there's a voice spoke to me inside and said, "Tell her what happened." I'm not kidding you. Just as plain as I just now said it to you. Somebody was inside me talking. And I said, "Mom, got saved." And she dropped that dish rag and hugged me, and I hugged her. She started going to church. I'll tell more about it to you, Crowley, maybe Saturday night. Mom got sick the last few years of her life. And one day she's up at my house, and I could tell she was shaking. She babysitted my girls for years. Come over during the day and make sure, clean for me and stuff like that. And they paid her as a babysitter. And then I'd go off to preach somewhere, and them three girls over there, when they were growing up. And one day she sat down on the couch and she's just shaking like that right there. And I said, "Mama, you all right?" And I could tell something bad was wrong. And I called them. They put her in the hospital, and she'd have what they used to call a nervous breakdown. They don't say that much no more. Mom got worse and worse and worse. And I'll never forget, Debbie's coming. She said, "Danny, go up there and check on her. My sister's a nurse." And we said, "We're not going to put her in a home unless we absolutely have to." Because she hated them. But she said, "Please don't do that to me." And we said, "Mom, we won't unless it's a medical reason that we have to." And I'd go up there and she'd be sitting like this. And I'd say, "Mom, have you eaten anything today?" And she'd say, "I don't know." I'm telling you, it ripped my heart out to see her like that. And one day I went up there, and I went in the back door, and she was laying in the floor. Just laying there in the floor like that. And I said, "Mom, what are you doing in the floor?" And she said, "I don't know. I don't know how long she's been laying there." And I picked her up and got her, just her arms numb. And then we watched her go down and got worse and worse and worse. And one day, just a few days before she died, I said, "Mom, You want me to take you to Gatlinburg? I'd take her mate, Shirley, to Gatlinburg, and she'd say, yeah, I'd like to. She couldn't even walk. And she got weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. You know what it's like, some of you do, to see that one that you love more than anyone in the world just to go down, down, down. And sometimes she'd call me Ralph. Her brother had died. She'd say, are you Ralph? And I said, no, Mom, I'm Danny. And I watched my mom get worse and worse. And if you've never had to do that, your day's coming if the Lord don't come. Somebody in your family. And you know what? One day I took my guitar up there and got the songbook out and I played a few songs. And she couldn't remember nothing. She couldn't remember what happened an hour ago. And I would start the song. I'd say, down at the cross. And I'd stop and she'd say, where my Savior died. That's the truth, people. That's the truth. And I'd say, down where from cleansing. And she'd say, from sin I cried. Oh, yeah. That was the weirdest thing. She couldn't remember what she did yesterday. And every one of them old songs. I got her on video somewhere, me and her, singing a song. And that night I preached down at Nelson's camp meeting down there in Mooresville. And I told Debbie, I said, I got to preach tonight. And Debbie said, Danny, she ain't going to make it. And I said, I'm going to go do what Mom wanted me to. She'd fussed at me. She'd fussed at me and made me go and go. And then she'd fuss at me for going, for the weather was bad. And on my way home, I got the call. He said, Danny, she's gone. And I drove from Statesville to Old Fort. And walked in, and there she was. And we had her funeral right here. I preached it right here. And the last memory I got of my mama is her not even being able to feed herself. But I want to tell you something this morning. Because of Easter Sunday, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, besides because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I've got the promise from this book that I'll see my mother again. Woo! Hallelujah! I'll see her and she won't be sick. She won't be frail. She'll be 33 years old in a perfect body just like His and will never get tired and never get weary. And so I'll hug her and you say, you really believe that? Yeah, I believe that. You really believe you'll see your mother again? Yes, sir! I believe I'll see my mother. That's the promise of the book. And the world ain't got nothing to offer as good as what we've got in that book right there, people. You're not wasting your time serving God. You're not wasting your time going to church. You're not wasting your time giving your life for Jesus. You say, well, I've just put my tithes in and I gave money in this. No! You're never wasting your time putting it in for the glory of God. Put it in the souls. I'll see my mom again. And you'll see yours. And I can't wait. I can't wait. That's what the resurrection means. That's what the resurrection means. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye is closed. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving, please. Every head bowed and every eye is closed. There's two kinds of people in here this morning. Saved and lost. Saved and lost. You may be here this morning, you're saved, but you're not living like you should live. You need to come to the altar this morning and get your heart right. You may be here this morning, you've never been saved. Never, ever been saved by God's grace. You need to come and get saved. Get saved on Easter Sunday morning, friend. That's the best time I can think of. Can't think of a better time than this morning. Young man, young lady, you may be just like I was. 18, 19, 20, 21. This is the best time ever. You come. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that You'd speak to every single heart here this morning. I've done my best, Lord. And I pray You'd do the rest. Holy Ghost, bring conviction. Touch every single heart here today. Don't let a person here leave this morning lost without You. We'll thank You and praise You for it. And we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. You come. Come on, right now.